Now, Brother David read most of my sermon. And that's okay, because it's God's, not mine anyway. Before I get started, well, what is Pentecost? It's the birthday of the church. Do you ever think about that? You see, there was a promise in like Joel of the Holy Spirit coming, and there's no need for me to read all these scriptures. They've already been read. But the Holy Ghost came according to the promise of Christ Jesus. He told his disciples, tarry into Jerusalem until you'd be endued from on high with power. Well, you know, in John chapter 20, Christ Jesus appeared in a room where the doors were locked with the disciples and said, peace be unto you. And then he breathed upon them and says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. They had the Holy Ghost. But in that day of Pentecost, that there were about 120 people gathered in an upper room, I would be willing to bet anything I have that those people didn't come in at a certain time and sing two songs and go eat. They didn't do something according to a religious schedule. They waited on God and they worshiped God and they praised God until something happened. By the what I see here today, there's only a few people here that have God on their agenda. The ones that I normally see here had something more important to do today. That tells me they don't give a hoot about Pentecost. And I think the Holy Spirit's grieved. And I'm not here to hammer on anybody. I'm here to praise God and worship God. But it hurts my heart that the vast majority of people aren't interested enough and the Holy Spirit to even be here. So that tells me He's going to work through the ones that are here. You know, many people think, well, the Holy Ghost and the power was just for the disciples. But, you know, they preached the gospel and multitudes followed them. And those multitudes were in that upper room the day the Holy Spirit fell. And that was the birth of the church. Power from on high settled upon every one of them, gave them great boldness. Something that we don't have here. Something that is very sadly lacking in the churches today. Jesus Christ bled and died on that cross for the remission of our sins and to give His people a changed life. The only people I see that have a changed life are the ones that are sitting here in this room right now. Because the ones that are normally here that aren't here today, their lives have not been sufficiently changed. All might say, oh, maybe they had work well. They don't work on these. They've just got something more important to do. Roll the clock back a couple thousand years. And who would have been there among us on that day of Pentecost? Who would have been on that upper room? Who would have been worshiping God with all our heart, waiting for the Holy Spirit? We would have. I'd have been there. I know you would have been there because you're here today. I purposely am not going to preach very long today because I just want to just tarry and, you know, whatever you guys all want to do, but I'm going to be here and I'm just going to tarry if the Holy Ghost does something. I got up here one day and I did something very uncharacteristic for this church. I got up here and I prayed and I asked God to change me. Whether He changes anybody else here or not, that's up to you, but He changed me that day. My heart's crying out for Him. There's nothing better and I'd like to go home and be with Jesus right now today. I'm ready to go. But He wants me here. He sends me out to do what the disciples did. My particular calling is healing. I had the pleasure, Friday, of seeing something happen that I saw. There was a woman that is a girlfriend of a man I ministered to in Texas. And he was telling his girlfriend on the phone that I was down there holding healing service. And she says, I know who he is. Says he healed my knee a few years ago in New Mexico. And he put her on the phone. And truthfully, I didn't remember her. She was in South Dakota. She got on an airplane, flew down there. Her knee was okay, but she had lupus and she'd been bound to a wheelchair for a few years. Couldn't walk. And when she came in the door in that wheelchair, I remembered her face. Indeed, I had prayed for her. And I laid hands on her and she'd come out of that wheelchair and walked in 30 seconds flat. Pentecost again. You see, I'm not one of the original disciples. I'm one of the people who heard from the people who heard from the people who heard the gospel from the people who heard the gospel from the people who heard the gospel for the people. And I could keep saying that for the next 50 minutes because I heard from someone that heard that someone heard. But the gospel's the same. The Savior is the same. The power of the Pentecost is the same. You know, the problem with Pentecost is it changes people. Doesn't leave us in our comfort zone. Doesn't leave us like we were. Changes us into something we should be. See, like, for example, in the days of carbon paper, if you write a document and you make 5 or 6 carbon copies of it, you don't have to read the last carbon copy to make sure that it says what the top original says. It reads the same. And then they had Xerox machines and you stick the original in there and, well, do you have to read the copy to come out and make sure it says the same? No. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't change from generation to generation. The power doesn't change from generation to generation. But it's for whosoever will. And I don't see very many whosoever wills here today. A few. I know that the Holy Spirit is here. And if there were 120 here, He'd fill us all. If there was 120,000, He would fill them all. See, but too many people think everybody's just going to be saved. The Bible says there's going to be few saved. That's sad. That means the blood of Jesus, who died for the sins of the world, we're going to get the lion's share of that blood because the rest of the people just don't care. They got something else to do. They're out on the lake today in their boat, or they're with their family somewhere, or maybe who knows where they are. Doesn't matter. What matters is they should have been here. I don't know. You know, I preach kind of a bold message. Maybe people are staying away because they don't want their heart to be convicted from what I preach. I don't care. I ask God to change me. Make me into one of His followers. With power. He did it. Not the same man I was 20 years ago. I'm not where I want to be. Oh, praise God, I'm not where I was. I'm not where I want to be yet. You know, what were the results of Peter's sermon? Let's go. Let's open our book to Acts. I think being David got Acts chapter 2 taken care of, I'm going to back up to Acts chapter 1. You know, we went in there and Matthias replaced Judas. And verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." But you know, Jesus told them to remain until the power fell. I think too many of us are willing to remain and remain and remain. And you know, maybe you join the church when you're 20 years old and 70 years old, you're still remaining in the church waiting for the power to fall. I think, what are you waiting for? It fell on the day of Pentecost. We don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit anymore. But we got to get the sin out of our lives. You know what happened? What happened 50 days before Pentecost? Well, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, getting the sin out of your life. Too many people are wanting to stay in their sin. Thank God there's a few here at least that are not satisfied with the status quo. You know, this Pentecost lost its power. Well, and Acts, I'm going to go to Acts 4:4 for just a second. You know, back over in Acts chapter 2, I'm going to back up a little bit here. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. "They that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread." What do you suppose happened to those 3,000 people? They had received the Holy Ghost just like the 120. And they were out just like a bad case of the flu, infecting everyone they could with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, are we doing that, or are we just happy to sit on our laurels? In verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Okay, so we had 120, then we had 3,000 added. So we know there was at least 3,120 people that got hit with the Holy Ghost, their lives got changed. They got some boldness about them. Over here in Acts 4:4 and talks about how be it many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. So now we have a church, a fledgling church with 8,120 people at least. Oh, what happened to the church? I don't see 8,120 people in here. So does that mean Pentecost lost its power? No. What's hindering Pentecost right here today?
I don't care. I got the better to do.
But you know, the ones that are here are not hindering Pentecost. We're here searching for Pentecost. We're here waiting, and we're hungry. And I'm not just hungry for a piece of pie. I'm hungry for God to move me and shake me, to change me into another man, like talked in the Old Testament about, like when the Holy Ghost came upon somebody in the Old Testament. It says, change them into another man. I want to be changed. I don't want to be just plain old Jerry. Truthfully, I don't even want Jerry to be seen. I just want Jesus to be seen in me. I got a long ways to go for that to happen. But I'm pressing in. And I know you are too. But the book of Acts is called the book of Acts because they did something with the Holy Spirit. What are we doing with the Holy Spirit? We're not doing near enough. There's a lot of people coming here that are doing absolutely nothing with the Holy Spirit other than saying, well, I go to church. Oh, I must surely be saved. I must surely be filled with the Holy Spirit because I go to this church. That's rubbish. If they're not out winning souls for Christ Jesus, they're not even going to be in the kingdom. That's what the Bible says. If the Holy Ghost doesn't have you, then what does? What has you if the Holy Ghost doesn't have you? And what do you have if the Holy... You don't have the Holy Ghost. You got nothing. You got nothing to show for your existence here. And the blood of Christ Jesus is wasted on you. You're not out doing something to enlarge the kingdom of God. You know, I don't want to be in a kingdom of God with four people. I like company. God didn't create man for nothing. He had a purpose. He wanted us to be with Him. You know, if there's a kingdom of God, that means He's a king and things are done according to His way. But, you know, we want to do it our way. I talk often about the Burger King mentality. We want it our way. We need the Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out until we want it His way. And we'll not have it any other way. When we see someone, for example, that's depressed or suicidal or something like that, we need to rebuke that devil out of them because Jesus Christ didn't put up with the devils. He run them off. In Luke 10:19 it says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. He gave us Pentecost power. What are we doing with it? You know, if you're going to make the devil leave, there's got to be something greater than the devil to make him leave. You know, the scriptures talk about greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Is He in us? If He's in us, what are we doing with it? Why are we letting the devil beat us up? Why are we letting the devil steal our goods, make us sick, and take our kids astray? There's a greater one in us than he that's in the world. That's what Pentecost is about. Pentecost was about taking what was given to the disciples and giving it to everybody else. And we heard from those, Pentecost should be in us and alive and well and doing something. Greater is He. 1 John 4:4. Let's go there. 1 John 4:4. Just a minute. I'm going to go back to verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because there are many false prophets going out into the world. Hereby you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. You know, I've actually had people tell me that Jesus Christ has not come in the flesh. I didn't have to get back in my Bible to know of what spirit they were. Word tells me they're the Antichrist. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. So I'm going to take a side trip here. Go 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Here's what you do. Somebody's at the spirit of Antichrist. The Bible gives us clear directions what we're to do. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world, that's Satan, have blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. This Pentecost power has been given to us to cast out that spirit of Antichrist. You got people in your home that are kids, grandkids, whatever, they're not saved. That's why the spirit of Antichrist has bound them. I was doing a healing, week of healing services in Big Lake, Texas, 4 years ago. And a deaconess of the church came up and asked me to pray for her husband's salvation. And I said, she said, I've been praying for him 16 years and he's not been saved. I said, what have you been praying? She says, Lord, save my husband. I said, you're praying the wrong prayer. And I took her to this. In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believed not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I bind that spirit of Antichrist on your husband. Next night, that man came with the whole family. They all got saved. It turned into the biggest revival I've ever preached. Because those people saw that family come up. And they started coming up asking for their family. We just had a wholesale prayer for this spirit of Antichrist. We took authority over that spirit. Cast it out of the family. You can't just say, well, I cast the Antichrist spirit out of the world. You don't have authority to do that. But you do have authority to cast that spirit out of the ones you're ministering to. They have the power of agreement to agree with you. And you know something? All those people came and got saved. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. It was on television live. It was on the radio live. It was on internet live. I mean, it moved. It was Pentecost again. Because why? Because we gave the Holy Spirit free rein. First of all, we showed up. We gave Him first place, not last place. You see, God doesn't want your leftovers and He doesn't want your scraps. We cry out to God day and night. We want a full-time God. Wouldn't it be reasonable to think that God wants full-time servants? I see we've got a few. That's all it takes. Back here and read this 1 John 4:4 again. Let's read this out loud. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So you can say this. Greater is He, the Holy Spirit, that's in me than he that's in the world. Do you believe that? Then the book of Acts needs to be applied. Act upon it. Why let the devil have his way? Run him out. Take your place of authority. That's what Pentecost is for. The Holy Spirit was not given unto us to play possum. And I go down the highways and byways and I see possums laying on the road. And I say, here's another Christian. Get the dust. Devil run over him. I think should not be so. Greater one lives in us. We can make him move out of our lives. That's what Pentecost is about. Pentecost is to empower you to change this world. To be a kingdom of God builder, if you will. But are we doing anything? You know, we run around here being afraid of what the devil's done. You ought to wake up in the morning and one of those demons quake and say, oh goodness, he's awake again. She's awake again. I want to be the devil's worst nightmare. I want the devil to be afraid of me. You know, I even got to give credit back in Acts about the seven sons of Sceva. At least they were doing something. But they says, we're casting out devils in the name of Jesus whom Paul preached. But you see, the seven sons of Sceva didn't have a relationship with Christ Jesus. So they said, well, Paul I know and Jesus I know. Who are you? Has the devil said, who are you lately to you? By what authority you think you're going to tell me to get out? I'll tell you what, he knows me. I don't lead a charmed life. I get hit from every side a lot of times. But greater is he that lives in me than he is in the world because of Pentecost. Because Jesus Christ did what he did and gave his Holy Spirit to us according to his promise, according to his will. He put the gospel in a Xerox machine and put it in us. What are we doing with it? We ought to be bringing Pentecost power wherever we are. I know this is not a Pentecostal church, but I serve a Pentecostal God. I'm not going to water down the message of God to please anybody. I'm not on anyone's payroll. I'm on His payroll. And it's high time we started doing what's in the book of Acts. We've been given the power to do it. We better get busy. There's a lot of people out here that are lost that don't know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. And it's our fault because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. I don't know about you, but I'm ashamed of every opportunity that I've missed to bring someone to Christ Jesus. They say, well, only the Holy Spirit draws them. Yeah, that's true. I'm not going to save anybody. The Holy Spirit saves. But have you noticed Father God has not been speaking with an audible voice to anybody? He draws by the Holy Spirit. And we're the mouthpiece. We're supposed to be preaching the gospel. The angels are not commissioned to preach the gospel. We are. Woe to us if we're not doing it. Woe to us if we're not bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world. It's our fault if we don't. We're going to be judged for it. I've said this many times. I says, in the end, we're going to hear one of two things. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Or we're going to be well done. I don't want to be well done. I want every drop of blood that Christ Jesus shed to bring a soul into the kingdom. Can't preach to everybody. There's people that each of you would meet that I'll never meet in my life. That you can bring them. You can plant those seeds. You know, the Word of God is the seed. It talks about the sower. You know, the parable of the sower. Some sow on stony ground. Some sow by the wayside. Some sow among the thorns. Some sow on good. And it brings forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But if you're not sowing, there's not going to be any reaping. We can just sit here and think, oh, just save me and my three, or us four and no more. Pentecost is being wasted. No, I don't want to see a drop of Jesus' blood wasted. I want to see the Holy Spirit filling this church or wherever we're gathered. We've demonstrated at least that we cared enough to show up today. I think that counts for something to God. You know, sometimes people just show up because it's a religious thing. And sometimes people show up because they're hungry for God. You know, just when you come to church, you shouldn't be church. You ought to have church at home. This gathering should just be a continuation of what you're already doing at home or driving down the road in the car. You know, when I'm driving down the road, I spend a lot of time behind the wheel with the Lord. I probably prayed all the way to Texas and all the way back. You know something? It's sweet having the Spirit of the Lord with you. Don't you wish everybody did? I remember when I was a kid, there was a Dial soap commercial. It says, aren't you glad you used Dial? Don't you wish everybody did? I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember that commercial, but I grew up with it. And I think, aren't you glad you got the Holy Spirit? Don't you wish everybody did? Well, yeah, I do. Then what are you doing about it? See, that's what the book of Acts is about. And that's what Pentecost is about. If you don't see Pentecost where you go someplace, pray until you bring Pentecost. It worked for the 120. They didn't sing a couple songs to say, time to go. They waited on God. I remember, like, I see a sign on the door that says push or pull. Push. Pray until something happens. You know, you love the Lord enough, you wait on Him until He moves. Because it's worth it. Here to tell you. Bug out.